Welcome to the Pesky Pole Podcast.
Step up to the plate, buddy.
With Michael Dobreski.
If he was manager of the major leagues, he'd be out of town a long time ago.
And here he is, the man who'd walk through hell in a gasoline suit just to make fun of Derek Jeter.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Michael Dobreski.
Welcome back to the Pesky Pole Podcast. It's the relaunch episode. We started this podcast a few years ago, did one episode, and kind of got sidetracked, but we are back. And the opening right there, I want to go ahead and thank my buddy Rob Sanders. If you don't know, I actually do another podcast as well with Rob. It's called the Rob and Comrade Show. I'm the comrade. And it's a South Carolina and Clemson rivalry podcast. If you guys don't know anything about that, the Gamecocks and the Clemson Tigers are big rivals in every sport. And of course, Red Sox fans should know this. Jackie Bradley Jr. played for the Gamecocks back in the day, led them to two straight national championships. And so the podcast really focuses on those two schools. Rob is a Clemson fan. I am a Gamecock graduate. And so we kind of go at it back and forth. Real good stuff. We both love college baseball, so this podcast and that podcast will probably overlap a little bit when we kind of get into baseball a little bit, because we're going to do some college baseball on here as well. And, of course, my blog, you can check out, thepeskypole.net, and, of course, on Twitter, at thepeskypole. So, good stuff. So thank you, Rob, for that opening. Kind of funny. He does really good work, and so I appreciate that for sure. Getting into the blog real quick, probably about 2 weeks ago, I put a poll up about doing a replay season with Out of the Park Baseball. And Out of the Park Baseball is a big deal for me. I have in the past done interviews with Out of the Park Baseball, their creators, Marcus Heinsohn. I have a great interview with Marcus Heinsohn on the blog, thepeskypole.net, and you can see that. But the Out of the Park Baseball is a simulation game. It's unbelievable game if you love baseball stats and baseball stuff. And you can be a GM, you can be a manager, all that good stuff. And so one of the things I like to do is do replay seasons where you go back and you replay a season. And so I like to choose kind of anniversary seasons. And so on Twitter, I put up a poll to pick which season people are most interested in reading about. And so I chose 1948. 1978, 1988, 1998, and 2008. 2008, of course, is the year in which Manny Ramirez was traded by the Red Sox in midseason, and Jason Bay came in, and the Red Sox got all the way to the ALCS and lost in Game 7 to the Rays when J.D. Drew struck out with guys on base against David Price, who was a rookie, came out of the bullpen and struck him out. So very interesting year there, a lot of drama that year. 98, of course, the year that Pedro Martinez came over. It's his first year as the Red Sox pitcher. And, of course, Nomar in his second year. And, of course, 98 also is interesting because the rest of baseball had the big home run record race with McGuire and Sosa. And, of course, the New York Yankees won like 5 million games that year. So, interesting season there. 78, of course, is the year the Red Sox collapsed with the Yankees. And, of course, 48 is the year the Red Sox, with Ted Williams, came oh so close to winning the pennant and lost out in the last day. And, of course, the book 1949 by David Halberstam, which is a great, great book, talks a lot about the 48 season at the beginning because it kind of leads into that 49 season. So I put that stuff out there, and the season that won, to my surprise, was 1988. And 1988, of course, is one of those great years in my childhood. I was 14 years old, and I was surprised it got that much love, and pleasantly surprised. But 88 was the year of Morgan Magic. John McNamara took over. I mean, John McNamara was the manager. Of course, he led the Red Sox to the pennant and to the World Series Game 7 in 86. 87 was kind of a disaster. 88 came, and the Red Sox were off to playing about 500 ball, and McNamara got fired, and Joe Morgan came in. The Red Sox got red hot and won the AL East. And so it was a really cool season. Doing some research in the season, though, I didn't realize just how many teams in the AL East were in it. I mean, it was a four-team race, a legit four-team race. Red Sox, Tigers, Yankees, and Blue Jays, and, of course, the Orioles were horrid that year. They lost their first 21 games of the season, and so they were just horrible. And, of course, the Red Sox did get Mike Boddicker from the Orioles midway through the year, which was huge. They traded Brady Anderson over to the Orioles. And so the replay will go ahead, and all the transactions that happen in real life will happen. So Mike Boddicker will join the Red Sox at some point during the season. I think he comes over in June, I believe. And everything kind of goes the way it's supposed to. The only thing that's up in the air is injuries. You know, guys can get injured, and you have some randomness in that respect. And, of course, just how you manage the game and how things happen. So I'm managing the Red Sox and so forth. And what I do on my blog, thepeskypole.net, is every game that I play, I put the box score up and do a little write-up on it. And you can kind of follow along. We've done two games so far as of this podcast recording. And right now, things aren't going real well for the Red Sox in 88. They're 0-2. The Detroit Tigers have just blistered them in the first two games. The Tigers are loaded back then. You know, the Tigers won in 87. Of course, they won in 84. Okay, so the main guys are still there. You know, Whitaker and Alan Trammell and Darrell Evans and Chet Lemon. And so forth, and they are just killing me right now, killing Clemens and Bruce Hurst the first two games, and so things aren't pretty easy early on. But it's a fun Red Sox team. Mike Greenwell, of course, had a great year. He lost out the AL MVP to Jose Canseco, and of course, years later, Jose Canseco would go ahead and admit to steroid use, and Mike Greenwell kind of spoke up publicly about that idea that he deserved the MVP, that the writers should go back and award him the MVP now that Canseco admitted he cheated. Of course, that didn't happen, but Greenwell had a great year, his best year of his career, and he was still a young guy. Ellis Burks is in center field, which is pretty cool. You have an aging Dwight Evans, who's getting older now, but playing right field and some first base. You know, Todd Benzinger's there, and you got Jody Reed and Marty Barrett. And, of course, Wade Boggs is still in his prime doing great things. And you got Roger Clemens and Bruce Hurst and Oil Can Boyd at the top of the rotation. And, of course, Mike Boddicker comes over in a trade midway through the year. So follow along on there, thepeskypole.net. That's some good stuff there, and we will talk about that. So as for the Red Sox, not much news this offseason. That's kind of the big news, is there is no news. Andrew Benintendi has been the biggest news source here lately. He came in today with a new haircut. He shortened his hair up a little bit. And the other thing that happened was apparently his agent, and I'm not sure if it was him or not, but his agent was arrested and fired. He apparently was videotaping his clients taking showers in his house. And an unnamed player who did not want to be named basically blew the whistle on him and called the authorities, and he got fired. And we're not sure if it's Benintendi or not. It could be. He's one of the clients, but that's kind of the news source there. The Red Sox have not made any moves. The biggest move they made so far is re-signing Mitch Moreland at first base. And the latest we hear now on J.D. Martinez, it's a J.D. watch going on, is the Red Sox offered him 5 years, $100 million. And, of course, Scott Boras denies that. And by the way, I think if the Red Sox can sign him for 5 years, $100 million, that is a great deal. You start getting to 7 years, I think the Red Sox need to think about that. But obviously, Scott Boras is hoping for a 7-year deal. And the Red Sox, I'm not sure what they're going to do. You know, it's a lot of pressure right now from Dombrowski. You know, part of me thinks the Red Sox would be better off if they just went ahead and called their bluff and not sign him. And the problem with that is there's a lot of Red Sox fans who like to win the offseason. I mean, that's a big deal. And if you don't make another move, basically the same team we had last year comes back this year. Now, that's not a bad thing. I mean, the team last year did win the division. And the thing was, it was kind of a weird season in terms of how they won, because not a lot of guys had great years, and it's not that far of a bold prediction to make that most of the guys on the Red Sox team should have better years this year. I mean, lots of them had down years and they still won. And so if you're going to quibble over the years right there, I mean, is J.D. Martinez really worth 7 years and $150 million plus? I mean, that money could be used to re-sign Mookie Betts. It could be used to take care of Benintendi here coming up soon. It could be used to go out and get Machado or Bryce Harper here soon. I'm not sure Machado or Harper want to come here, but you're limiting yourself if you go ahead and sign JD Martinez. I mean, there's really not a spot for him right now. I mean, if they do sign him, they'll make a spot for him, but there's really not a spot for him right now. And so that's the big question. Am I going through the Red Sox lineup right now? You've got in left field, you've got Benintendi, and Benintendi is a superstar in the making. And so it's very easy to imagine he's going to keep on improving and have a better year than he had last year. He had a good year last year, too. So Benintendi's there. You know, Jackie Bradley Jr., I love him to death. I know many of you struggle sometimes with JBJ. I know I am biased. I watched him play from college, and so I'm always rooting for him. But JBJ, you'll get what you get from him. You know, same year he probably had last year. Right field, Mookie Betts. Betts had a great MVP-type year 2 years ago. Last year, not quite as great. He was battling some injuries. He had to figure Mookie Betts will be better than last year. I'm not saying to expect an MVP-type season from him, but I think he's going to be somewhere between his year 2 years ago he had and the year he had last year. And so that's an upgrade. At third base, you have Rafael Devers all season long, and Devers is going to work on his footwork and defensively, but his bat is for real, and you figure a full year of Devers at third base ups production right there. Xander Bogaerts is a mystery. You're hoping that Alex Cora kind of connects with him. You're hoping that Bogaerts improves his defense, his footwork defensively. You hope the bat stays more consistent all year long. And so there's no, you know, it's not a crazy thing to think that Bogaerts should be better this year. At second base, you have Dustin Pedroia, who is injured. He'll probably be out till June. And so they'll probably mix and match a little bit until June. And so when Pedroia comes back, ideally he'll be healthy. I mean, he's been battling this knee issue all year long and struggled. So you're going to get 4 months or 3.5 months of a full, healthy Dustin Pedroia. That's an upgrade. First base, Mitch Moreland. We mentioned Mitch Moreland. There's a stat out there that Moreland, apparently his hard hit ball ratio was supposed to translate into more home runs last year, and it did not. And so they chalked that up until bad luck. And so what they've tracked, though, on that is that most guys who have had bad luck in one season, where they hit the ball harder than their home runs number suggest, they usually have a big home run season the following year. It kind of the law of averages kind of come up there. So Mitch Moreland, who we got real cheap, may have a big year at first base. Then you have Hanley Ramirez. Ramirez had shoulder surgery in the offseason. He said to be healthy and feeling great. You know, who knows? No one knows. But he can't possibly have a worse year than last year. And so maybe he comes back to form. Maybe he hits 25 homers this year. Maybe he hits like 270, 280. That's an upgrade. Pitching-wise, David Price. We got nothing from Price last year, very little from Price. You have to imagine we'll get more from him this year. Eduardo Rodriguez is out till probably June or May with his knee issues. But when he comes back, once again, he should be healthy. And he's been battling the knee issue, which has kind of hurt his effectiveness. So I've always thought that Eduardo Rodriguez is a guy who has ace or number two type stuff. And I think you're going to see that when he gets back. And so if the Red Sox do nothing the rest of the year, their team lines up pretty good. The problem is perception. The Yankees made all these moves in the offseason. They got Giancarlo Stanton. The Yankees feel like they've passed us by, passed the Red Sox by. And if the Red Sox don't do anything, it's a bad optic. It makes Dombrowski look bad. And so you have to wonder if Dombrowski kind of has that discipline. If he says, you know what, I know what it looks like, but it's not the right move to sign JD Martinez to a 7-year deal. If he takes the 5-year deal, great. If he doesn't, then we move on and have the team we have now. We'll see, you know, if the Red Sox fold. If the Red Sox fold, if they call Boris's bluff. And it's really interesting to see what happens in that regards, because if Dombrowski does not make a move and the Red Sox struggle, he could be fired. If Dombrowski makes a move and signs JD Martinez and he doesn't work out well, once again, he could be fired. So it's kind of a Dan V does, Dan V doesn't right there. So I think if you're Dombrowski, you have to really kind of, you know, stick to your principles at this point. And if you're going to get fired, you get fired in your own terms, doing your own thing. And so it's real curious to see what happens right there. And we're going to check back on that too. So that's it for today. The first podcast back. We'll do some interviews coming up here soon. We'll get this back in a regular rotation. But I wanted to kind of relaunch this podcast to kind of get to the replay season and so forth. During the season, on the pescapole.net, we'll have game recaps. We'll have game previews for every Red Sox game. And we do a lot of gambling stuff on the pescapole.net. I know most people don't like to gamble on baseball, but it's a pretty cool way of looking at games in terms of the lines and the run spreads. And so we'll do some analysis on that as well and kind of track those things too. And we kind of do some different game recaps, some different numbers we look at, different stats and different things that we kind of keep track that other sites don't do. And not saying other sites are wrong, but we like doing a little niche stuff on the pescapole.net. So always come back and check us out there and check us out on Twitter at the Pesky Pole. And thanks for listening.